This is Tech Barometer Cloud Coverage. I'm Jason Lopez. We thought it was interesting to see an announcement that Udacity is offering a cloud-native nano degree, a four-month track comprised of four courses called Cloud-Native Application Architecture. It's being done in collaboration with SUSE, a company which helps other companies with their cloud operations. Sarah Whitlock is the global head of the SUSE and Rancher community. She's been in academia, having pursued a PhD in engineering from Stanford, but left to work in Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom. And since then, she's had a career in the industry with an ongoing interest in education. So we talked to her about the nano degree program and why Cloud Native has gone beyond training sessions into a university-level curriculum.
Yeah, that's a great question. Getting to cloud native, it's a journey. It's not something that just happens overnight. And it's more than just about technology. There's a lot of change management, a lot of cultural change that's involved. But if you just focus on the technology part, there's this vast technology landscape. It's something that, you know, you really actually need to understand it. There's a lot of choice in this landscape and is rapidly evolving. It's just constantly changing. It's innovating, which is great. But from a technology point of view, if you're kind of coming into this, it can be quite daunting to get started, right? Like, where do I start? What do I choose? What do I do? But at the same time, we have all of these companies. I think there's about like 60% of companies report that a huge portion of their mission-critical IT services are built on or served up in some way using cloud-native architectures. But at the same time, a large number of hiring managers say that they can't find the people that they need to do the work that needs to be done. I was looking at this 451 Research Voice of the Enterprise survey recently, and it said something like, 85% of organizations report deficits in cloud expertise. And you know, you've got universities, they're not able to teach this stuff. They've got enough on their plates. Just getting that foundational material that every graduate needs, much less trying to tack on this latest, greatest tech that's coming out, you know, at an ever-increasing rate. So there's this ever-growing skills gap and an overwhelming need to prepare our global workforce to be more cloud native literate. So that's why we need this.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. As I talk to technologists, it's not necessarily that all roads lead to AI or all roads lead to big data, but it does seem like all roads are leading to cloud in some ways.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the cloud brings a lot of things to the enterprise. And, there's a lot of great promise to it, of course, that hasn't yet been realized. But yeah, cloud is it.
Yeah. So I imagine that's one reason why SUSE decided to invest in a partnership with Udacity to offer these courses to students. I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, when you look at this global skills gap and you think about what does SUSE do as a company? So we have this leading edge innovative technology. But none of that is useful if you don't have the people who are properly trained to know how to use it. And I'm not talking about product training, I'm talking about skills training. So what we're trying to do is be part of the solution here. What we're doing with Udacity, simply put, it's about helping people get the skills that industry is telling us that they need.
So Sarah, what is cloud native if you were to define it? And how does it impact the delivery of applications?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure that there's one simple statement that encapsulates everything about what cloud native is. I tend to think in terms of business outcomes. In the sense of business outcomes, cloud native is a way of developing and delivering applications so that companies can innovate faster, they can respond to feedback from their customers, and ultimately bring a better experience to their end customers. Now, in the cloud native world, applications are typically deployed as microservices. So rather than having one big monolithic application that has all of your business logic, you know, all of your functionality into it, instead, you kind of break that apart into these microservices, these bits of workflow, of logic. And then each of those pieces is packaged into its own self-contained entity called a container. And then those containers are dynamically orchestrated, or they're managed by Kubernetes to optimize resource utilization. So really what ends up happening here, by having all of this architecture, Cloud Native allows developers to build truly amazing and awesome applications that serve their customer needs faster and better. So it's kind of like this continuous innovation cycle with continuous feedback from the customer. So you deploy, you get feedback, you pivot, you take that feedback, you do something with it and improve. And it's just this ongoing iterative process.
I gotcha. And when did you start becoming aware of these sorts of practices that you're calling cloud native? About when did this start happening?
Wow. Well, I entered into the cloud in the Salesforce days. I was an early employee at Salesforce. So I was working on business applications, you know, CRM in the cloud. Salesforce had a really interesting platform that essentially abstracted away a lot of the complexities of how you build applications and how you get them to the cloud. Like, they kind of took care of a lot of that. So that was my introduction to the cloud. Really, only a couple of years ago when I came to SUSE, when I kind of went down into the infrastructure layer, that's when I started to embrace more of this cloud native way of doing things, because now I was faced with some of that complexity that's under the covers that was abstracted away on that one particular proprietary environment. That's when I started to learn. Well, I guess even actually at SAP, I was there as well. You know, SAP was making the transition to Kubernetes and as well. And I was starting to learn this and go, what is that strange word? What does that mean? Right. So even for me, it's relatively recent.
Yeah. It's really interesting how we're in the middle of seeing a thing becoming a practice rather than just an idea.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see it to the point where we have coursework that people can pursue in order to become competent in this area. What are some of the classes that are offered in this nano degree program?
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about the overarching nano degree program first. I want to describe it as it's more than just the courses. So it starts with a free online course that introduces some basic skills to develop and deploy cloud native applications. So that's where it begins. But then there's also this full online nano degree program. That's three additional courses. Each of them comes with projects where you get hands-on practice using the concepts that you learn. But a really important part of the whole nano degree experience is also a community for the learners. Think of it as like scaffolding, extra support that offers some extended learning opportunities, some mentorship, some fellowship as you go through the program. I think we all learn better when we're able to bounce ideas off of others and go through experiences together. So it's more than just the courses, it's that scaffolding as well. The whole program consists of four courses and a capstone project. And like I said, each course has a project that goes with it. First course is that Cloud Native Fundamentals. This is where you simply learn to structure and package and release an application to a Kubernetes cluster and then use an automated CI/CD pipeline. So kind of some basic stuff. Second course is on message passing. And this is where the students actually learn how to refactor the monolithic application into microservices and then learn how to have those microservices communicate with each other via message passing. Then the third course is on observability. So this is a really important part about any distributed application, knowing how to monitor and respond to the health and the performance of the app that's running on these Kubernetes clusters is quite key. So students are going to learn how to collect system performance using Prometheus. They'll collect app tracing data using Jaeger, and then they'll visualize results using, they'll build a dashboard using Grafana. And then the final course is on microservices security. And so this is where the students will learn about threat modeling. They'll explore what the attack surfaces look like in a microservices architecture. And then they'll use some industry standard open source tooling to learn how to monitor the application. So they'll ultimately deploy a runtime security monitoring service so that they can look for security signals and learn how to respond to any issues there. And then finally, at the end of it, there's a capstone project that kind of brings everything together. So the students will refactor an e-commerce online shop, and they'll deploy it on Kubernetes. And so basically, they're taking all the things that they've learned and applying them to this real-world example problem. And so at the end of this whole experience, you know, this multi-month experience, they'll actually have a portfolio of projects that they can show, you know, to their current employers or prospective employers to say, look, this is what I know how to do. So it's actually pretty cool. It's pretty comprehensive in that regard.
Does this form the basis of an ongoing curriculum? Are you going to build on this in the future?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. I don't know, but I do know this. This is just the beginning of the journey for someone who is stepping into cloud native. What we've done here is we've tried to put the focus on the developer aspect of this, because about a year ago, when we were embarking on this project with Udacity, we set out to fill a void in the current landscape of cloud native educational resources. And that was the focus on the developer. So this program puts the focus on what developers need to know to take advantage of all of the great things that microservices, containers, and Kubernetes bring to modern application delivery, but at the same time also introduce a fair amount of complexity for developers. I hope that this is the first of many of these kind of initiatives that we'll do, but I don't know yet. Let's see how successful this one is.
You know, you've had a career as an engineer. You're still an educator. What's the story of your educational path?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this the other day. My first real professional ambition, I'll ignore the part when I was a kid and I wanted to be an astronaut. And then I quickly learned that my...
That's actually a pretty cool fact.
Yeah, well, it was neat, but my propensity toward motion sickness kind of eliminated that as a viable job alternative for me.
Gotcha.
Although at one point I did actually work at NASA, so that was fun, but certainly not as a test subject or an astronaut. But yeah, my first real professional ambition was to be an engineering professor. I went through my bachelor's, master's, and PhD courses without having a single female professor in any subject. And I thought that it might be a good idea for me to contribute to the critical mass of women in academia. Plus, I grew up in a college town where most of my friends' parents were professors, so I thought I knew what that job was. So I went down that path for a little while, went to Stanford, you know, started on my PhD. But as the time came closer to actually realizing that career ambition, there started to be this collision between the romantic notion of what it meant to be a professor in a research environment and the realities of the job. I realized I didn't want to spend 80% of my time writing research grants and essentially begging for money to do my work. And I actually really enjoyed teaching. And what I could see around me was professors were deferring a lot of their teaching responsibilities to graduate students so that they could focus on bringing in more research money. So I ended up jumping ship to high tech, and I happened to be living in Silicon Valley, and I was in the Bay Area at the time when the dot-com bubble was expanding. And I was quite timely in that I joined the dot-com train, the bubble, whatever, right at the moment when it burst. So I was in one of those startup companies that was a shooting star for a moment until it wasn't. And then, you know, we pivoted and that sort of thing. But I quickly became one of those engineers. I was an application developer, and I became one of those engineers. I was recognized as one who could talk, so I could explain things to people. And so I pretty quickly pivoted into training roles and sales engineer type roles and then technical evangelism type roles. So the kinds of things where your core focus is to essentially flatten the learning curve for people, to help them understand what this new or different thing is and why it might be valuable to them, and then help them be able to embrace it. So I've had multiple jobs in high tech. I think I've never had the same job twice, but always there's been this kind of red thread of education or simplifying or making things accessible to people that were previously not accessible to them.
Well, it sounds like SUSE has the right person involved with this Udacity program.
Yeah, well, I sure hope so. And we're really excited to be working on this. I couldn't be happier with the partnership that we have with Udacity.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for joining us today to talk about this nano degree. It's really fun.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Sarah Whitlock is the global head of the SUSE and Rancher community. The SUSE and Rancher community is a place specifically for aspiring and accomplished cloud-native practitioners. It's at community.suse.com. And you can find out more about the Udacity Nano Degree Program, Cloud Native Application Architecture, at udacity.com. This is Tech Barometer, Cloud Coverage. I'm Jason Lopez. Check out more podcasts and stories at theforecastbynutanix.com.